If you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 16. That's where we're going to be for a chunk of the time this morning. We're going to be at a couple other verses. And if you don't have a Bible with you, a physical Bible, you can always hop on your phone. And there's a Bible app called YouVersion. You can download that. Probably many of you have already downloaded that. And if you click in the bottom right-hand corner where the three lines, or it says more, something like that, and go to events, there you can see Restoration Church, and then you can see all the verses that we're going to be sharing this morning. But one of the things that as we have just the last couple weeks, we've just been talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? And even beyond that, the last couple weeks, talking about this amazing fact, this amazing truth, that God wants to do life with us. That God wants to do life with you. In fact, this Wednesday, the men were at men's Bible study, and just simply talking about the fact that out of Mark chapter 3, where Jesus said that he called 12 disciples, and the first thing that is said about them, he says, he called them so that they would be with him. Now, often we start to think about, oh yeah, he sent them out to preach, he sent them out to pray, he sent them out to do all these things. Yes, he did all of that, but first and foremost, he said that he gathered them so that he could be with them. And do you realize that? Like in the core of your heart, that the Lord wants to be with you, wants to do life with you, wants to dwell with you, wants to sit with you and listen to your thoughts and listen to all of your dreams and all of your passions. Like that is absolutely mind-blowing because sometimes I have a hard time getting my mind around the fact that someone wants to simply be with me. But the Lord wants to be with us. To be with you, to do life with you, and so much so that he sent his Spirit to lead and guide. And ever since the beginning of Restoration Church, we've always encouraged and challenged and really spurred one another on to be obedient. And that's why I love the leadership of Rebecca and the team. You know, I know that stretched many of you in this room. To have space, you're like, all right, I'm just going to kind of think about the goodness and the glory of Jesus. But I love that she stepped out in obedience and did that. And I know it stretched some of us in this room, but in all honesty, another thing, from the very beginning of Restoration Church, we've always said, like, I don't want just to stay in the same spot. I want to be challenged. I want to be encouraged. I want to be pushed into areas where, you know what, I am going to be a little uncomfortable, but that's where the growth happens. You go to a workout class not to sit there and watch somebody else work out. No, you want to be stretched. So that's what I love, and I love seeing how people have been responding to the ways that the Lord has been stretching them. And I want to start off this teaching just by sharing an email that was sent out to many of you. And I love this. A few months ago, Dave Barry said, hey, if you want me to read or write some things, I'm willing to do that. And I'm like, yeah, write some things for the email. They've been great. And if you are not connected to our emails, you can hop on our emails. You can even scan the QR code up on the screen, get connected that way. It's a way that we stay connected throughout the week. But I just love what Dave Barry just shared about last week and talking about the Holy Spirit and talking about the truth that God wants to do life with us. And I'm just going to read his email. Maybe many of you read it, maybe you didn't, but I just thought it was so good that I didn't want to just pass by it. And this is what Dave said. He says, let's be honest. Some days the Christian life feels like trying to follow Jesus with a blindfold on and your shoelaces tied together. But here's the plot twist Jesus gave us in John 14. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And that changed everything. Because God didn't just send us marching orders, he sent a helper. Not a spiritual assistant to keep us productive, but the very Spirit of God who is with us, in us, for us. Imagine that. The same Spirit that hovered over the waters in Genesis, the same Spirit that blew through the room at Pentecost like a divine leaf blower, now whispers your name and walks your pace. Not ahead, not behind, but right beside you. He's not, and this is a huge one, he's not a theological concept. He's a person, he's a guide, he's a counselor, a friend who doesn't get tired of you and doesn't mind your mess. Paul tells us in Galatians, if we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, which means your life is kind of like a dance. You're not dancing alone. The Spirit nudges. He waltzes when we wander. He weeps when we grieve him. And when we don't know what to pray, he prays for us in deep, wordless groans that make heaven lean in. So what do we do with this? Do we build programs? Do we start ministries? Do we organize? Maybe. But first, maybe we slow down. Maybe we ask one simple question. Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And how can I follow you today? And that's where relational with begins. Not in striving, but in surrender. So let's walk slower this week. Let's listen better. Let's live like the Spirit isn't far off, but as close as a breath. Because He is. A life with Him, that's where the joy is. I love that. It's a powerful picture. What a gift that the Lord has given Dave in writing. Yes. But what a picture, and I don't lose this picture, is that the Lord wants to do life with you, to be relational with you. I mean, that's the name we looked last week at, the name of the Holy Spirit. There's so many different translations, helper, counselor, advocate. All of those are decent translations, but it comes down to the meaning of the word Holy Spirit as it's in the original language is just to come alongside. And I love that picture of God just coming alongside. Here's my Spirit to come alongside you. And in every situation, what do you need? Maybe you need help. Maybe you need comfort. Maybe you need counsel. Maybe you need wisdom. Whatever we need, the Lord is there. His Spirit is there to lead and guide. We talked about the Holy Spirit is personal. It's not a power, not a force, not an it, but a He. And I think, why does this resonate deep inside of us? When we talk about the Spirit, when we have moments where somebody shares a writing like that, why does that resonate deep inside of us? And it's because of this. And I believe often we forget this reality. And the reality is first and foremost this, that you are not first and foremost a physical being. You are not first and foremost physical. Now, that messes with our thinking because we as Americans be like, well, we look at the things that we can see. I am physical. Like, I have this body. I'm in this room. I'm sitting in this chair. Like, I am absolutely physical. But we in America, like, we believe that we're physical beings with a spiritual side. But all around the world, here's the way that they believe, that believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, like they believe this. They believe that they're first and foremost spiritual with the physical side. And I believe that they have it more right than we do. Because we're told in Scripture to what? Walk by faith and not by sight. We're told in Scripture that what we see right now is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And what's going on here? What does that really mean for our lives? What does that point to? And it's this, that you and I are first and foremost a spiritual being. Think about this. Go back to how we were created, Genesis 1. God says this. God said, let us make man in our own image. If you slow that down long enough, you're like, it starts with God said. You're like, okay, God's saying, one, singular. But then all of a sudden, he's like, flips it. He's like, let us make man in our own image. And you're like, whoa, what are you saying? Let us make man in our own image. Who's the R? Who's all going on? Because it just is singular, God said. But then all of a sudden, there's plural. What is happening? And from the very beginning, we see this picture. And it's a term that Christians throw out. And it's called the Trinity. That God is three, one. That you have the Father. You have the heartbeat of God. You have Jesus, the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the earth, who walked this earth, you know, in a human form, but fully God. And then you have the Holy Spirit who hovered over the deep. And God said, let us make man in our own image. And I believe it points to the reality that we are first and foremost a spiritual being. We are first and foremost spiritual beings. That's why we have these deep longings. You and I have a deep longing. And we look to fill that longing in so many ways, physical ways, through maybe relationships or different addictions, if you will. But you are created to connect from the very beginning at the deep spiritual level, and that can only be satisfied through Jesus. But you also got to realize that we're spiritual beings and we're living in this world and we are in a spiritual battle. and the direction that we need, the strength that you and I need, is not physical, but spiritual. Again, I'll get to John chapter 16, but turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. I love this picture. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul is saying this, and it just highlights again how much we need to focus on our spiritual lives. Paul says this, and he's talking about being afflicted. He's talking about being beaten up. He's talking about the troubles in life. And then he says this in verse 16. He says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away." Our physical lives are wasting away. I look around this room as some of you get older. I don't get older, maybe, but like we all get older. Our outer selves are wasting away. There are things that you used to be able to do that you cannot do any longer. There's strength that you had at one point that you're like, you know what? I just don't have that same strength. Outwardly, we're wasting away. But I love this picture, and this is the goal. Our inner self, though, is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction. You ever consider life as just a light, momentary affliction? Sometimes it just gets overwhelming. But it's nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory that's beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. See, we look at this, and we're like, we're so, as just Western people, we're focused on the physical. But Paul says, outwardly we're wasting away, but inwardly I can get stronger day by day by day by day, as inwardly my spirit is being renewed. See, so often the problem that I think we have is we know that we're spiritual beings. We know it in our head, but seldom do we live it out in our hearts. And we approach this world as spiritual beings, and we know that there's a spiritual battle, but we approach it through physical means. We look for physical solutions. We look for physical wisdom. We look for man's guidance, woman's guidance. And we look to the things of this world instead of reminding ourselves and remembering that God has given us His Spirit to walk with us, to lead us, to guide us. Look at all throughout Scripture. There were physical problems that came up. At least on the outward, they looked like physical problems. But believers knew that they were spiritual. And so they knew they needed to fight not with the weapons of this world, but with divine weapons to break strongholds. That's why in Acts chapter 4, when they were arrested and persecuted, what did Peter and Paul do? They went and they worshiped and they prayed. They didn't first think of a strategy and a plan. I'm like, what are we going to do? X, Y, Z. Not that plans and strategies are bad, but first and foremost, they worshiped and they prayed. In Acts 16, as Paul is in prison, he's overwhelmed and he shouldn't be in prison because he was in prison because he ruined somebody's career as he set a girl who was a slave free, thrown into prison, tortured, beaten. He doesn't think like, how am I going to get out of here? No, he had a physical problem, but he knew it was deeply spiritual. And so he attacked it in spiritual ways, and they started to worship at midnight. And all of a sudden, there was an earthquake, and the jail bust open, and they were set free. So often, we look at our lives, and we think, oh, it's physical that's going on. And I just want to remind us today that we are in a spiritual battle. And the things that we need to engage in is spiritual warfare, spiritual disciplines, is spiritual wisdom. And that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Like, look at John 16. Finally get there. Like, this is why Jesus gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 7. We'll just start there. John 16, verse 7. He said this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." You ever think about that? Like, seriously, Jesus? Man, I'd love for you to be in this room, or I'd love for you to be somewhere, you know, in this world that I can go and visit you. But he said this, "No, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." See, here's the first part of the work of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit came to give life. And even at the beginning, as He created, the Holy Spirit was creating, and life came. Romans 8 says, we have the Spirit in us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He is all about giving life, but how does the Holy Spirit give life? First and foremost is through conviction. He gives life through conviction. The Holy Spirit shows us our sin, shows us areas of our lives that are off. The Holy Spirit showed you even before you came to Christ. Like, there's something wrong. There's something messed up in my life. There's something off. That was the work of the Holy Spirit convicting you. And we often think, like, when somebody convicts us, when somebody points out something in our lives, we're like, ugh, what are you doing? You're judging me. I look at this. This is the most loving thing that the Lord can do. To look at us and to say, you know what? There's something off in your life. There's something that's not right. There's an area of your life where you aren't experiencing life and joy and peace and love and all the things that I created you for. The most loving thing to do is to tell somebody when something is wrong. Just this morning, in all honesty, I had a friend talking in this room. Maybe you've had this with a friend before and you're talking and you see something maybe in their teeth, in their nose, they're like, there's food in their mouth. Like, how many of us say things? Do you say something when you see something? Yeah, it's the most loving thing you can do. Call it out. Hey, you got some green stuff in your teeth. Like, there's an Oreo that's stuck in there. And just this afternoon, someone's like, hey, there's something on your face. You got to get rid of that. I'm like, thank you. The Holy Spirit does that in our lives. Convicts us of sin. And people would often say, like, oh, the Lord has convicted me. Oh, I feel so bad. I'm like, no, you should feel bad if the Lord isn't convicting you. If there isn't that conviction in your life, then there's a problem. I look at this. We live in a spiritual world. We're spiritual beings. And the things that I need, things that you need, is to be convicted. Why? Because the Lord, His will for our lives, in 1 Thessalonians, is your sanctification. That you would grow in holiness. How does that happen? The Lord convicts us. The other way that the Lord, that the Holy Spirit leads us to life is through His leadership. Look at this. Jesus says, continues to go on, after saying that the Holy Spirit will convict, says this in verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. We get life through the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to lead us. He's called the guide. He'll guide us. We need guides in our life. We need people who will direct us in our lives. If you ever go to another country, or if you go to another part of this country and you're on a tour, you go into a city, or you go into an area where it's historical, you have no idea what's there. What do? You hire a guide. You go on a tour, and there's a guide that's leading you and saying, hey, check this out over there. You didn't know about this. You didn't know about that. Here's the history of what's going on. We need that in our lives. I don't know about you, but this is the first time I've walked as a 50-year-old. I need a guide. I need people to lead me. I need, as I walk through this life, I need someone who is more wise than myself, more powerful than myself, to lead and guide. And I love this about the Holy Spirit, that He didn't leave us alone, but He's right beside us, guiding us, leading us. And the one way that He leads us over and over again is through the truth found in Scripture. You want to know truth? In this world where there's so much shaking going on, so many different opinions, so many different ideas, so many different thoughts. I don't know about you, but I need to be anchored in this on a daily basis. And here's how the Holy Spirit works. You start reading this, just like this morning, I'll just share it in my own life. All of a sudden, I get to 1 Corinthians 10, and it's talking about idolatry. It's not like just reading this and being like, sweet, oh, there's the idolatry. No, the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart and saying, where are the idols in your life? Where are you loving something more than me? That is the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to say, you know what? Here's the areas where you need to grow. Here's truth found in my word. But the other thing, in regards to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I do believe that Scripture tells us to love our neighbor, but the Holy Spirit will say and guide us and give us thoughts. It's just what we're sharing over here. Riley shared that about her dad. The Holy Spirit will nudge us and say, hey, you should pray for your neighbor in this way. Or maybe bring your neighbor some goodies. As those ideas come to mind, we're so quick to pass them off because we think, oh, we're living in a physical world. That was just a coincidence. But I would argue, maybe not. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit getting your attention. When it says, oh, go across the street and talk with your neighbor, pray with your neighbor, see how they're doing, engage in a conversation, that might not just be an idea that you came up with because you had pizza last night. It might be because the Holy Spirit is leading you and directing you. And what is the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit? And Jesus is so clear here. Look at verse 14. It says, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here's the simple point and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He's got one job and one job only. Reveal Jesus. Point people to Jesus. For them to find life in Jesus. To have them grow in likeness of Jesus. To make them more like Jesus. To have them like hunger and thirst for the things of the Lord. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to glorify, to put Jesus in spotlight. See, it's all about him so that you will find life in Jesus. See, the Spirit-filled life is the resurrected life. A couple months ago, we celebrated Easter. And I grieve because so often we think, Easter, Jesus is risen. Like one day, let's celebrate. And then 364 days a year, we're like, oh, we just got to strive. We got to just, oh, hopefully we'll make it to the next Easter. No, the beauty of the resurrected life is living a Spirit-led life. To walk in the power of the Spirit. We weren't given a spirit of fear. We weren't given a spirit of anxiety. We weren't given a spirit of despair. We were given a spirit of life and truth. And let's just walk in the power of the Spirit and the freedom of the Spirit. Here's the picture. And Dave Barry gave me this thought as I was reading his email. Divine leaf blower. Some of you saw Mallory walk in with this thing. I just think this is what it looks like to be led by the Spirit, to live the Spirit-led life. Because sometimes when we're facing challenges in life, we need some wind at our back. We need guidance. We need to turn this thing on. And if I were to, who's someone with some hair? Grant, get up here. He's up for it. Like, all of a sudden, turn around. Like, he wants to go in a direction, and it feels led. He's like, I need some strength. I need some power. All of a sudden, you know. But maybe he's facing, and this is my favorite button on this leaf blower, is maybe, like, it's really tough, and then you're like. Like, there's a turbo button. The Holy Spirit propels us. But here's the other thing, and this is the thing that we often don't think of. Face me. All of a sudden, if Grant's going a different way, going the wrong way, the Holy Spirit, oh boy, too hard, prevents us from going in a direction. This is what we need in life. Not a leaf blower, but we need the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Thanks, Ray. Give him a round of applause. So here's how I want to finish this morning. Rebecca, can you and the team lead us in that song, Rest on Us? And in this season, as we're just talking about the Holy Spirit, and where we're going for the next little bit is, and actually August, we're going to pick this up and talk about how do we really live an empowered witness of the Holy Spirit. As we talk about the Holy Spirit, I just really feel that we need to become more aware that we live in a spiritual world. We need to stop fighting. I don't even like that word fighting, but just stop engaging in life from a physical perspective. Trust me, I'm all for business plans and models and all that stuff. It has its place. So often we look there first instead of running to the Holy Spirit. And saying, what's your perspective on this? What's your insight? What's your direction? And so just as we wrap up, I'm just going to have them sing this song. I want to invite you to close your eyes and just make this be your prayer. Holy Spirit, may make me more aware of you. Make me more aware that I'm a spiritual being, that I'm created to connect with you, to be led by you. Maybe even thank him for the ways that he has led you in life. Even as they sing this, is there an area where he's convicting you? Is there an area of truth that you need to walk in? And just simply be a prayer. Holy Spirit, rest on us.